no surprise that when we raised those issues, clearly and directly, we got a defensive response.
U.S. and Chinese diplomats meet face-to-face. It's Monday, March 22nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online at Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, denouncing hate against Asian Americans. Vaccine diplomacy heats up. Soaring college costs. University students help astronauts. Pioneering on Mars. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The United States and China held the first face-to-face talk since Joe Biden became president in January, and the initial discussion in front of media cameras and microphones was less than diplomatic. The U.S. Secretary of State and National Security Advisor wrapped up the talks with top Chinese officials in Alaska Friday. Elizabeth Lee reports.
2 days of tense U.S.-China talks in Alaska wrapped up Friday, with the Chinese delegation leaving without comment. The main areas of disagreement continue to be China's treatment of the Muslim Uyghur minority group and aggressive actions in Hong Kong, Tibet, and Taiwan.
It's no surprise that when we raised those issues, clearly and directly, we got a defensive response.
China has no room for compromise on issues concerning its sovereignty, security, and core interests. Our determination and will to safeguard our own core interests are unswerving.
The issues of economics, trade, technology, and cyber attacks, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says, will be reviewed with Congress and U.S. allies to advance the interests of businesses and workers. The first Biden administration meeting of the two superpowers comes on the heels of Blinken's trip to meet with U.S. allies South Korea and Japan amid China's growing assertiveness in Asia. Blinken says the goal of the meeting was to lay out the priorities of the Biden administration. While there are many issues on which the two countries don't see eye to eye,
on Iran, on North Korea, on Afghanistan, on climate, our interests intersect.
Analysts say while it is too soon to tell what Biden's China policy is, they don't expect too much of a difference from the last administration's approach.
So far, I would say I see more continuity than change in U.S. policy from the Trump administration to the Biden administration. Let's identify areas where we and the Chinese disagree and push them and demonstrate our willingness to protect our interests. That's much more likely to get us to a stable relationship faster.
Analysts say even with the tough Chinese rhetoric, much of it aimed at its domestic audience, China would like to decrease tensions with the U.S.
In their dream world, the United States would back down on wanting to be a major power in the Indo-Pacific. I do not think that will happen.
Especially after what some analysts describe as a toxic relationship between China and the U.S. during the Trump administration.
There was an expectation that the Biden administration would be able to encourage a detoxification of sorts of the relationship. But we've seen that the relationship has only been further poisoned at this point.
This meeting is just the first step, and analysts say the U.S. and China will move forward. But it will take time for the leadership of both countries to determine what a sustainable relationship would look like. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
We invite you to read and see much more on our top story and all the stories you hear on today's VOA Asia by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. Also stop by our Facebook page, and you can visit the website. That's voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Heavy rains in Australia's east bring worst floods in 50 years. Pro-democracy protesters injured as Thai police break up protest. Filipino troops kill rebel commander, rescue last hostage. China and United States to form climate change working group, according to China. U.S. urges preservation of incredible biodiversity in Cambodian forest. Find expanded coverage of these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia and at the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's continue with VOA Asia. President Joe Biden denounced attacks on Asian Americans after meeting with community leaders in Atlanta, Georgia, following a shooting that killed 8 people, including 6 women of Asian descent. Incidents of hate against the community have been especially challenging to combat. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara has more.
Asian lives matter!
Asian lives matter!
Protesters marched through Minneapolis, Minnesota, in solidarity with the Asian American community, following mass shootings at 3 spas in Atlanta, Georgia.
Whatever the killer's motive, these facts are clear. 6 out of the 8 people killed on Tuesday night were of Asian descent.
Vice President Kamala Harris and President Joe Biden met with community leaders in Atlanta Friday to hear their concerns about the rise of hate-fueled incidents against Asian Americans.
They've been attacked, blamed, scapegoated, and harassed. They've been verbally assaulted, physically assaulted, killed. Documented incidents of hate against Asian Americans have seen a skyrocketing spike over the last year, let alone the ones that happened and never get reported.
Proving that an attack is motivated by traits like race, religion, and sexual orientation is often challenging, but it's important to charge it as a hate crime when it meets the legal standard, experts say.
Having a statute on books like that gives a level of comfort to communities of color, people who are in protected classes, you know, gender, sexual orientation, LGBTQ. And so it's very important that the statute actually is used when appropriate and not just be a figurehead on the statute books.
There is a long history of racism against Asian Americans. After Japan attacked Pearl Harbor during World War II, the Roosevelt administration held people of Japanese descent in internment camps. There is also the model minority myth, the perception of universal success among Asian Americans that downplays their struggles.
You create this wedge, Asian Americans as sort of the one that's put on a pedestal against other minority groups. So you create this dual process of divide and conquer, as well as making it seem like Asian Americans are free of any experiences of racism.
Atlanta authorities have not ruled out charging the suspect, Robert Aaron Long, with hate crimes on top of 8 counts of murder. Meanwhile, Biden is urging Congress to pass the COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act, saying it would expedite federal response to the rise of hate crimes exacerbated during the pandemic and support state and local governments to improve hate crimes reporting and deterrence. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
In Myanmar, security forces cracked down again on anti-government protesters across the country in the face of mounting global criticism over their increasingly aggressive campaign to end the demonstrations triggered by the February 1st coup. Protesters ran away as tear gas and live rounds were fired in northern Myanmar, according to international and local media reports. Myanmar Now reported that one neighborhood night guard was fatally shot, 2 others critically injured in the central city of Mogok. On Friday, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres strongly condemned the continuing brutality of the Myanmar military. Happening now in Asia, defying Myanmar's military crackdown, anti-coup protesters in Mandalay held a rally at dawn early Sunday to avoid major confrontations with security forces and police. Medical personnel, including doctors, nurses, medical students, and pharmacists, joined pro-democracy protesters marching overnight. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice to start a brand new week with you on VOA Asia. Thanks for stopping by. China has become a major supplier of vaccines to Latin America, and the United States has come under criticism for not sharing its vaccine supplies with its neighbors. As VOA's senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain tells us, the White House says the Biden administration is now working on a plan to begin sharing.
Hope has arrived at this clinic in La Paz, Bolivia, in the form of Sinovac and Sinopharm vaccines from China. Bolivia, like other Latin American countries, has been ravaged by COVID-19. China says it plans to provide vaccines to 53 countries, including many in Latin America, and to make inoculation accessible and affordable. President Joe Biden says he is focusing on getting the vaccines to all eligible Americans before exporting it. But his administration is increasingly facing questions about why the U.S. is not sharing its vaccine supplies with its neighbors, especially warehoused doses of the AstraZeneca shot, which has not been approved for use in the United States. Now, the White House says the administration plans to share some doses of AstraZeneca first with neighbors Canada and Mexico.
I can confirm that we have 7 million releasable doses available of AstraZeneca. 2.5 million of those, we are working to finalize plans to lend those to Mexico, and 1.5 million to Canada.
Experts say China's much larger scale sharing of medical supplies after the pandemic originated in Wuhan has given Beijing a diplomatic boost and also soft power leverage in Mexico, Brazil, and other developing nations.
China has been able to contain the pandemic within its borders more effectively than the United States and other Western democracies have. That means there's less demand for the vaccine in China, and it gives the Chinese government more breathing room to send vaccines abroad.
But Secretary of State Antony Blinken, while visiting Asia, cautioned there are strings attached to China's medical diplomacy. And most experts agree there is nothing soft about China's approach.
The way the Chinese are handling the vaccine distribution is not from a real magnanimous humanitarian attitude, but a pretty aggressive approach that essentially demands that Huawei get access to telecommunications auctions in Latin America, that Taiwan be held at arm's length throughout the region.
Biden says he wants all American adults to be able to register for a vaccine by May 1st. And he hopes people will be able to safely gather in small groups again for the July 4th U.S. Independence Day holiday. Experts say once that happens, the U.S. will likely become a major exporter of vaccines around the world. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Tokyo organizers and the International Olympic Committee have announced most fans will be banned from the postponed 2020 Olympic Games when they open in July. The official announcement that spectators from overseas will not be allowed at the Summer Games follows a meeting of the five-party group, including the IOC, local organizers, the Japanese government, the Tokyo Metropolitan Government, and the International Paralympic Committee.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello anytime you're online or on your smartphone. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime.
This news from VOA Asia. The Philippine Defense Chief demanded more than 200 Chinese vessels he said were manned by militias to leave a South China Sea reef claimed by Manila, saying their presence was a provocative action of militarizing the area. Beijing also claims the Huitzon Reef, where the vessels were seen moored. You'll find all the big stories on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, the cost of college tuition in the United States remains at an all-time high, and it's even higher for international students. U.S. politicians, who are examining the future of higher education after COVID-19, say tackling the cost is essential to students and universities. Giuseppe Mononi joins us with more.
Because classes shifted online at most U.S. colleges and universities, 2020 saw the smallest tuition hike in decades, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. But it's still too expensive.
College costs are obviously way too high and continue to rise. We simply cannot continue the rise of college costs as they are today. We are bankrupting our students.
Tuition and fees are even higher for international students who typically pay full price, sometimes over $100,000 a year for college or university. U.S. lawmakers point to additional costs that students face.
Even before the COVID-19 pandemic hit, there were many students who were struggling to cover the cost of basic needs like housing, food, and childcare. COVID-19 pandemic has added to many of the hurdles.
The COVID-19 pandemic impacted the more than 1 million international students enrolled in the U.S. last year. Many lost housing, jobs, and funding when campuses closed last March.
We are hustling with the immigration status or the visa or time zone, so or differences in languages, but also economically, exchange rates are a real thing. And I know most students don't for example, for me, one U.S. dollar is 3,000 pesos.
In several rounds of relief packages, Congress allocated more than $75 billion for higher education institutions. International students gravely impacted by the pandemic say they also had hopes for some economic relief.
It was difficult even getting help from home because our parents, our family and friends were also hit hard by COVID. And we just saw that reliefs were coming through for other students, but international students had home. And that was really painful for us. And
while the $75 billion aid is aimed at helping schools maintain operations, payroll, and prepare for safe reopening, a portion is to be directed at students in emergency financial aid. Conservative education analysts are calling for Congress to closely monitor how relief funds are spent.
Colleges should now take the opportunity to make sure that that money is used responsibly. College boards of trustees and regents need to direct their universities to tackle program prioritization and reinvest funds in programs that advance their core mission, rather than continuing to engage in a facilities and amenities arms race.
Enrollment is down among national and international students, largely because of COVID, but the cost of a U.S. education is the number two reason. Politicians on both sides agree U.S. higher education is in dire need of reform. The way forward is still unclear. Jason Samaoni, VOA News, Washington.
Making headlines in Asia, Malaysia ordered all its diplomats to leave North Korea within 48 hours after North Korea announced it was severing diplomatic ties with Malaysia because of Malaysia's support of the extradition of a North Korea citizen to the United States on money laundering charges. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, is partnering with teams on college campuses across America to develop new spacesuit technology that will help astronauts returning to the moon and who will eventually reach Mars. VOA's Kane Farabaugh visited one team in Peoria, Illinois, that's hoping to make a big contribution to the U.S. space program.
Bradley University student Zach Bachman didn't grow up thinking he'd be an astronaut.
I am short, blind, and asthmatic, so I can't really be an astronaut if I wish to.
But a lifelong interest in video games and computers,
that should be good,
is putting him at the center of a nationwide effort to boost new space helmet technology for the next generation of astronauts.
Okay, Zach.
I've always been into sci-fi and tech, so it's just kind of like, this sounds like a cool project, and I kind of just got wrapped into it.
That cool project? NASA's Spacesuit User Interface Technologies for Students, or SUITS, design challenge.
Start procedure one.
Allows college students to create spacesuit information displays within augmented reality environments.
You'd still see the world around you, but you would just have overlays. Like the vitals would be an overlay, but they would still see the moon or whatever they're working on.
Abby Irwin works with Bachman on Bradley's SUITS team, using the latest Microsoft HoloLens to create and test their ideas.
Our navigation, we kind of got examples from flight software, so that pilots use and train with. But we also got some ideas from the game Skyrim, so how they do navigation in those types of video games.
While NASA has already announced a new spacesuit for the upcoming Artemis moon missions scheduled later this decade, the next challenge is figuring out the final version of the cutting-edge technology inside. That's where suits plays a role.
And so the idea was, well, why don't we put some funding toward having students contribute solutions to these technical challenges?
NASA's Brandon Hargis says the suits program helps NASA solve several old problems.
Lay down the ground cloth on the smooth surface area,
including handling the time delay communicating between the Earth and the moon, and the longer lag time for signals to reach Mars.
In this case, 250,000 miles away from Earth on the moon, or several million miles on Mars, there's somewhat of a delay in communications. And so if the astronaut has a little more autonomy to make some decisions based on the plan of the mission, augmented reality could help them do that.
In a typical year, 10 teams would travel to NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas, to demonstrate their designs in person. But due to the coronavirus pandemic, the current experience is all virtual and remote, giving more students a chance to participate.
Because we are doing this in a virtual format this year, we actually invited 20 teams to participate.
Hargis says the students' work has NASA ahead of schedule designing the technology.
The work they're doing has spurred research in the field.
When the first woman and next men land on the moon, the design of the AR technology influenced by students like those at Bradley University will be there, right in front of astronauts' faces, helping them boldly go and do what few have done before.
I'm very proud of like what we've come up with so far and like where we could go.
Kane Fairbaugh, VOA News, Peoria, Illinois.
NASA calls its latest mission on the surface of Mars a Wright Brothers moment of aeronautical pioneering. The ISS gets hardware upgrades, and Russia's lone female cosmonaut now has a Barbie doll in her own image. VOA's Arash Arabasadi brings us the week in space.
Just 1 week after NASA celebrated audio captured on Mars by the Perseverance rover, astronauts closer to home performed upgrades to the plumbing on the International Space Station. Victor Glover and Mike Hopkins spacewalked for 6 hours and 47 minutes. The two have 9 spacewalks between them. Glover and Hopkins rearranged ISS plumbing to vent part of the external cooling system. All of this will be in time for the arrival of French ESA astronaut and incoming ISS station commander Thomas Pesquet. Pesquet will be the third European in the role, and the 43-year-old says he plans to share French dishes with his crewmates, including almond cake and beef bourguignon. He is expected to launch from Florida's Cape Canaveral on April 22nd. Meanwhile, the Perseverance rover recently landed on Mars and drove its first few meters. The next step is to find a suitable launch pad for the Ingenuity helicopter on board. Operational lead at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab, Timothy Canham, says designing a helicopter for Mars posed new challenges on Earth.
We had to do very new kinds of algorithms in the software. We had to design hardware especially for flying on Mars. And so all of that was a challenge. We did things that have never been done before. It's sort of a Wright Brother moment in that we get to go to a planet somewhere outside of Earth and try a helicopter there that's never been tried before.
In August 1909, the first Air Corps in the world was created by the United States Army with the purchase of one of the earliest Wright Brothers heavier-than-aircraft.
The Wright Brothers are known for successfully flying in 1903, earning them the title First in Flight. Today, fewer than 120 years later, NASA expects the Perseverance will navigate the Martian terrain for them to launch and operate the Ingenuity helicopter from Earth in their very own first-in-flight moment. Finally this week, Russia's lone active female cosmonaut now has a doll in her image. Toymaker Mattel recently released the Anna Kakina Barbie. It's part of the company's You Can Be Whoever You Want campaign. The 36-year-old is scheduled for a mission to the ISS in 2022. The one-of-a-kind doll is not for sale. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Find us online at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Just look us up under our name, VOA Asia. We also thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.